you have a...
Good morning, Ralph. Good morning, Nearly Crazy Lady. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, Tuttles. Good morning, Ryan.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody! Arriba, arriba! Andale, andale! Hope everybody's having a good morning. Welcome everybody to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Gina, Joe, and Eric. Coming to you live from across the United States of America. It is Cinco de Mayo, 2022.
Hi, Brina.
Everybody ready? Everybody ready for the big celebration? Yum!
Mega, welcome.
That's it. That's all the response I get from the Cinco de Mayo, the Mexican hat dance.
Jeez. Hi, the Elvis Cabo, welcome.
Well, that didn't go over well. That didn't go over as well as I thought it would. Jeez.
Hi, Mr. A.
What's going on? Everybody in a solemn mood this morning. Come on. It's Cinco de Mayo.
Didn't you just say yesterday, they say it's just like every other day, that we just make a big deal out of it?
Don says he's sleepy.
I know.
Ay, chihuahua, ay, chihuahua. Oh, man. Jeez. Well. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Eric, good morning. Dina Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
Man, it's quiet. It's just a quiet day today. We should be festive. It's Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, we celebrate it more than anybody else does, I think, in America. So what's this whole deal with Cinco de Mayo anyway? Like a crazy lady puts it. Hey, so what's the deal here? Eh, you know, tacos, tamales, tequila, margaritas. It's just, it's actually just an American holiday, really. Ralph says he feels
naked.
Jeez, Ralph.
Chile.
There you go, Ralph. Let's start this whole thing all over again. Yeah, baby.
I don't know if you have Facebook or not, but I put there was a vegetarian or vegan. I can't remember which one it was, but it's for gnocchi, a sweet potato gnocchi. Then I will get it and email it to you somehow.
There, is that better? Got a regular intro going. Everybody kind of asleep. Everybody down. What's going on?
Yeah, Ralph said yes. He feels better now.
I'm making coffee. Anybody want coffee? I'm making coffee.
Everybody needs coffee.
I'm having a cup of coffee. Does anybody want coffee? Because I'm having a cup of coffee.
I'm like, one more day for what? Duh. Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, chihuahua. Man. This is the day everybody puts their little sombreros on their chihuahuas. Gets their little chihuahuas out there running around.
I do have a little dog sombrero.
Do you really?
Yes, my dogs do not like it.
No, I don't think they would. I don't think they would.
No, it looks funny on Billy, too, because it's really small. It looks good on Boo. I have pictures. They should be around there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen them. You should post them. It's a little Cinco de Mayo hat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't you have a sombrero, Dina Joe? You should have a sombrero.
No.
It should be part of your collection.
I know.
A little sombrero. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like them. I think they look cool. I grew up in Tucson. I actually grew up in Tucson. I was born in Utah, but I grew up in Tucson. Uh-huh. And, you know, we're pretty close to the Mexican border. And, yeah, there's some bros everywhere, man. Everywhere in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And loved them. I thought they looked cool. I could never find one to fit my head right, though. I don't know. I couldn't get the right size or something. But I always thought they were cool. Huh?
Gotta go to Mexico and get you one.
Yeah, I should have. I should have went to Mexico.
Yeah, we have a flea market out here. Huge flea market. And they have a lot of that there. In fact, Ava's first birthday was Mexican themed.
Oh, really?
For whatever reason, they picked it to be Mexican themed. And that's where I went, and I got her like this little handmade little embroidered dress, a cute little Mexican dress.
Oh, those are so cute.
Yeah. And they have all that kinds of stuff there. Welcome back, Brian.
Did she look like a little flamenco dancer? Like a little dancer?
Yes. Hi, Moonchild.
I got to say, that is the one thing I love about celebrations outside of the United States, like down in Mexico, India. These places, they have very colorful, Orient, Japan. You know, they have very colorful celebrations. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking, what, you know, do we have anything that's really colorful? I mean, we have the 4th of July, but it's, you know, it doesn't really have all the colors that these other nations have, you know, when they're celebrating. I mean, all the bright greens and reds and yellows and blues. And I mean, it just, you know, I mean, we have the red, white, and blue for 4th of July. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Mardi Gras. I guess Mardi Gras is the one that we have.
Because they have the beads and they're all colorful. And all the hats and the masks and stuff.
And I guess I didn't think of Mardi Gras because it just doesn't seem like Mardi Gras gets the attention.
No, and we're not really part of it.
No.
It's not like, you know, if you lived in New Orleans, it's probably like a huge thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we should turn Mardi Gras into a big national holiday. So everybody celebrating Mardi Gras. I think that would be fun. You know, all the big parties, the big parades. They have all those costumes. Everything looks funny. I mean, yeah. The streets are packed with people.
Music.
Yeah. I've never been there. If I went to Mardi Gras, I'd want to see it from the balcony of some place. I wouldn't want to be down there with all the people.
Hi, Jess. Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, I'm not a crowd of people person. You know, I don't like to be.
Not when they're all up in your grill, no. Because they're like, woo, so close. Yeah, no. Give me my space, arm distance, leave some arms out there.
three foot.
Yeah, hi, Evelyn, welcome.
We should have little force fields, you know. We should have a little wear a belt and hit the button.
Yes.
A little force field pop out.
They get zapped.
Yeah, they can't get into your area. You can't get into their area, you know. That would be awesome.
Zap them. hi, Mai.
Yeah,
Hi, GP Man.
Hi, GP Man. I haven't seen you for a while. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
That's one thing that keeps me from going to places. You know, I don't like going where there's a lot of people. I don't know why. I
tend to walk very fast. I tend to want to get to where I'm going. I don't want to just meander. You know.
Yeah,
you
and I
get through.
And
that
I'm
crowd.
Nervous. Yeah, and I'm nervous when I'm doing it. I'm nervous. I don't like people. I don't like people coming up on me.
What? And you have your pocket secure and all that good stuff.
I know. I don't even like going into grocery stores and all that are really busy. I like to grocery store. I like to shop. I'll go with Grammy if she's going to go in a real off time when nobody's in there. I like that. Yeah. I like it when the stores are empty, you know, but I don't like going, hey, let's go to the park. Let's go to the flea market. As much as I love flea markets, as much as I love those, outdoor farmers marketplaces. Yeah. Just
they
the
get
people.
Crowded too.
I know they
but
get
it's packed. Just that there's no common courtesy. That's the problem. There's
I
no
think that's what it is.
Common courtesy. If everybody had a little common courtesy about other people's space, and it doesn't necessarily need to be 6 feet away, but just common courtesy, you know, if somebody's standing there looking at something, don't walk right in front of them and stand there. It's like, hello.
Yeah. And don't, yeah, and
just
if,
a little
and
common
if you're,
courtesy.
And if you're walking and somebody is, you know, and you see a group of people, a couple of people sitting there talking, their old friends and that, I mean, don't run
I
into
know,
them.
All of those, D, you're right.
I mean, you know, don't run into them. You know, say, you know, walk me. Around. Excuse yeah. me. Say, excuse me. Excuse me. Hey, can I get in here for a minute? You know, I mean, just yeah, that's what it is. It's the total lack of courtesy, common sense, courtesy. Yeah. yeah,
it would make it a little easier. You know, if everybody's like, hey, high five. You know, yeah, I'm happy too, aren't you? Yeah, but it's usually not that way. No. Hi, Radio Parlesque. Welcome.
Here he's walking around all grumpy. I read this one story where I was surprised because it was a lady. It was a kind of a younger lady, but she says she flat refuses to move for anybody. When she's walking, she's just not going to move for anybody that's in her way. And I'm thinking, man, that's a good way to get knocked on your butt. You know? Yeah. Somebody's, you know, you don't move. I mean, what's up with that? You're not going to move for anybody. I don't want to run into anybody. I've done that. I've blindly run into somebody.
Oh yeah, and then I feel terrible.
Yeah, and then I mean, and it's you know just shakes your tree. You know, was her name Karen? Yeah,
it was
I know.
Karen. She was looking for Ken, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, come on, you know, a little courtesy here. You know, I try not to run into people, and if I. You know, do kind of bump into somebody. I'm really quick to go, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You know,
you apologize.
And yeah, you know, I mean, geez, Louise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This guy I ran into, we were walking. It was at work. It was like going to lunch, and I'm heading for the door to the lunchroom, and he's walking in he's walking down an aisle that's 90 degrees from the aisle I'm walking, and we both got a pretty good pace going, and we're walking, and I'm kind of talking to T-Bone's dad. I mean, Mr. T's dad, and we're walking, and he's walking, talking to somebody. Neither one of us are looking, and we just plowed right into each other. Bam! And it was like, oh, geez, man, I'm sorry. God, are you all right? You know, and, you know, he was a little mad, but, you know, I was like, man, I'm sorry.
At least you said you're sorry. When I was working back in the day, when I was able to, before my surgeries, I looked all nice, just got in the elevator. The elevator doors are almost closed. And this guy puts his arm through, which he's holding a cup of coffee, mind you, right. To hold, you know, right enough just to stop the door from closing.
Right.
And guess what happened? The coffee. Phew,
oh.
Over me.
Oh, jeez.
All over me. And he walks and he goes, oh, sorry. And turns around. And is back to me. And that was it. And that was it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He just spilled coffee all over me.
I know.
Coffee all over me now, and you just turn your back on me?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That is sad. That
terrible.
Was super rude. Yeah.
Just be, you know, just calm and just wait for the next elevator. And the elevator was full. It was full of people, you know?
So,
I don't know. People just need to be, I mean, I did say sorry, but it was kind of like, sorry, turn your back.
Yeah, sorry.
You know what I mean? Like,
sorry, you spilled. Sorry, you spilled
sorry
my
you
coffee.
Were in my way.
Yeah, sorry, you were in my way.
That's what it
hey, D.
Like.
D. When we lived in England, we lived in a township called Doncaster. Doncaster. It's we considered it the Midlands in England. It's by Sheffield, Manchester area. Mm-hmm.
Hi,
yeah.
Hi, Mr. Steele.
Doncaster. It's a It's a fairly good size, but not, it's not a real big city, but it's a fairly good size city. Doncaster, yeah. And boy, that's the town center in that place would pack out, you know, on Fridays and, I mean, on Saturdays, the weekends and all that stuff.
Yeah, that would be terrible. I know. I'm like, everybody's looking around like, oh,
sorry.
I think there's a difference too in when you're around a crowd, if the crowd is like happy and or else they're just mad because they're around a bunch of other people. You know what I mean? It's the atmosphere, the aura kind of, you know what I mean? It kind of makes you feel like you don't want to be there sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes the other time people are just really, oh man, high five, let's have a good time, blah.
Well, we were at this kind of concert. This is a long, long time ago before I met Grammy. And when I was single and the girl I was dating, we were at this, concert thing on the waterfront in Portland, Oregon, and it's crowded. It is packed. People are sitting all in the grass and everything, you know, enjoying the concerts. And there's this line going down the middle of everybody sitting there, a big line packed with people heading to, you know, to get refreshments and that kind of stuff. And there's this guy coming up behind us, and he's plowing through the people in the line. He's plowing through their, you know, he's just like a bull in a china shop, plowing through the line. And he's coming, you know, he's coming up and he's laughing and pushing people out of the way. And people are going, hey, that's what got my attention. I turned around and looked and I saw this guy coming. And he gets up beside me and I trip him. I just stuck my big old size 12 out there, tripped him. So I fell on the ground and everybody's just laughing. Ah, that's what you get, you bump. But I mean, you know, that was uncalled for. I mean, it was uncalled for him going through, plowing through the crowd like that. Because people have kids and all that stuff, you know. And what year was that? Oh, good grief. That must have been 1997, I guess, Don? 1997? That's when they had those big... As a matter of fact, it may have been Cinco de Mayo. I don't know. 1997? Oh, something like that? That wasn't you, was it, Don? Yeah, I remember some guy tripping me. Yeah, what the heck? But I didn't feel bad about it at all because I felt rude. Rude behavior demanded a rude response. It was like Don was 5. Oh, for crying out loud. Don, you were 5. I think I was like 45. It was when I was 45. I was 40 years older than you are. No. Wow. Man, I'm old. Jeez. Everybody's got me feeling old. Oh, man. So, anyway, it's Cinco de Mayo. They used to have a big Cinco de Mayo thing here in the Portland, Oregon area. They used to have a big old Cinco de Mayo thing in the middle of that waterfront area. That's a nice area, the waterfront. It runs along the Willamette River. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, they usually have carnival set up, you know, a big carnival. I mean, it's a big space. It's a big park. And they have carnival set up and booths and all that stuff. It's real festive. Yeah, Tom McCall Park is that what the whole waterfront is called, Don? Tom McCall Park? I didn't realize that the whole thing was called that, but it's a fun place. It's a good place. A lot of people, good things going on in there. But they used to always have good things there. I don't know now. I don't know because I lost interest in going down there a long time ago when things just started getting crazy.
Oh yeah.
Don't want to be around. But the, let's see, was it the 4th? Is it the 4th of July? They used to open it up and they used to have what they called a fleet week. And there's like, you'd have the Coast Guard ships come in. Every now and then a Navy ship would come in and they'd all moor along that bank on that river. Hold on a second here. and they'd come in and you'd be able to see the ships and, you know, the Coast Guard and some Canadian ships would come down. Some Navy ships would be there. And it was really awesome. And sometimes they'd open up those ships so you could go and take a tour on them. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. See all the sailors running around. It was kind of fun. It was kind of fun. Yeah. But anyway, time's gone by. Time's gone by. That's why it's cool living beside the Wella Canal. We have canal festival days with all the ships. Yeah, that kind of stuff is awesome. I used to like to go to air shows too. You know, when they'd air shows. I went to an air show. Let's see. We had an air show up in Seattle back in the early 200s or 2000s. And my nephew was in the Air Force at the, well, he is still in the Air Force, but when he was younger in the Air Force, he was aboard one of those, what do they call them? Those AVAC planes, the ones that fly and they're like a flying radar thingamajig up in the sky, Navy planes. I don't know what it's called, but they'd go up, but they had all these Air Force. They had all these Air Force planes. They had all these Air Force planes out there and you could go and look at them. And man, I'm telling you what, it was awesome. As old as you, it probably was the early, Mr. A. Yeah, it was the early 200s.
Oh, God.
Hey, jeez. You guys are cracking.
Thanks for flowers, Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph.
And thanks for coming.
Oh, my gosh, my gosh, my gosh. But I love air shows. I love air shows. I love watching the Thunderbirds and the Air Force flying crew. And I love the Blue Angels, which is the Navy's precision flying team. I love that kind of stuff, man. I really do. I love watching the planes just ripping down the runways and all that stuff. I mean, it's fun. It's good stuff. Go and see what your tax dollars are paying for. Go in there. I walked up. They had the cockpit open on one of the jets. I don't know what it was. And I walk up there and you could look inside the cockpit, you know, and I took my camera out to take a picture of the cockpit. And the guy's, I'm sorry, sir. No pictures allowed. What? Nope. Can't take any pictures. Well, you got the thing wide open so we can all look at it. Sir, we're not allowed to have pictures taken. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I was at that flight. I was at that air show with the Wright brothers first flight. Yeah. I remember that. Did I see the Hindenburg? All right, come on, you guys. Come on. But you know what's funny? You talk about the Wright brothers. My grandfather, when he was alive, my grandpa Harvey, I don't think he saw the actual flight, but he was alive when the Wright brothers flew their flight and made the news. And he lived to see a man land on the moon. He seen the people land on the moon. So, What a lifespan he had. The things that went on in his lifespan. Good grief. All the way from the first flight all the way to people landing on the moon. Man, that's something. You know, that was really quite the era. You know, the early 1900s all the way to the 70s. Man. There was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things, a lot of inventions, a lot of stuff happening.
Hi, AFJ. Good to see you. Hi, Marty.
Man. Mm-mm-mm. So Mother's Day is coming up on this Sunday, everybody. Mother's Day. Get out there and, you know, do something nice for your mom. You know, send her some flowers. Take her out to dinner. Do something for her. Do something for you. I saw in Ralph's show this morning, I come in at the tail end and they were talking and talking about gifts for their Mother's Day. And actually, I think Dina Jo brought up that she had this little digital picture thing where you can upload pictures in that. And I think that is the best gift you could get for a mom or a grandmother is that little thing.
Awesome.
You want to describe that, Dina Jo? You want to kind of talk about that?
It's a picture frame and it's digital. and you have it's the best one I've seen. It's Aura, I think that's how you say it. A-U-R-A. I believe that's the correct spelling of it. And you can have any. I like it because I have my son and then my daughter-in-law or anybody that I can pick. I give them like a little account number, and then once they take pictures, they can just do. It's so easy. It's just you have the app on your phone and you just press on it and you say add pictures, bam, and it sends the pictures right to my frame. And it even has like she'll send me some that are just a little video, and it only does like a clip of it, like a little fast little clip of it. But uh-huh. It moves, you know, it still does that. And it constantly rotates the pictures. So the pictures are always changing. When the lights are off, it goes black, so that it's not wasting, you know, any electricity or anything. So when the lights go on, then the picture frame comes on, and then they just rotate. So it's really cool.
That sounds like a lot of fun. How come you haven't sent me the thing so I can send you pictures?
No. That is only for pictures of my granddaughter. There are no pictures of you going on there. Sorry.
Yeah,
I went to Costco yesterday and I did see it there, and they have it on sale right now for $120, which is really good.
Yeah, I would imagine price. And I would hope that that they are secure. You know, they're secure, so people can, but you know, you gotta be careful handing that stuff out. But that sounds like a perfect gift, because especially, you know, that you can the grandmas can see the pictures of the grandkids, mm-hmm. You know, and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just good times.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That sounds like that would be a fun little gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because they actually got me a different one for Christmas, and mm-hmm. in it, with this brand, it's unlimited amounts of pictures. The other ones, you can only get so much space, and then you have to buy more space and space, and then they keep it, and then they do something with keeping the pictures. And I'm like, no. I would rather spend an extra $40 and have, you know, unlimited space. It's mine. I'm, you know, nobody
has access.
Yeah. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that is, that sounds like a fun gift. So, you know, but you can always, you know, you can always send flowers. You don't have to get really elaborate with stuff with your moms. Moms don't need a lot.
Like people have, my daughter-in-law, they went in, like her and her sisters went in and they bought one, mm-hmm. a gift for their parents. So yeah, you don't have to do it by yourself.
Yeah, it's time to, you know, you need to do it. You need to do it. Spend some time because, I miss the days that I could do that with my mom, you know, because once they're gone, you know, and all you have are your memories. So take advantage of them while they're here. You know, I don't mean take advantage of them, but you know, I mean, you know, take advantage of the time you have with them, because, you know, there's going to be a day when they're not going to be around and you're going to be sad. Man, I should have went and visited. Cause that's one thing I kick myself about all the time is I should have went and visited my mom more than I did. Because I only lived like 3 hours from her, and no, I didn't, you know, what's 3 hours to drive? You know, I could have drove 3 hours and just spend a day with my mom. And, you know, I just think about this, but no, I was too busy. I was too busy doing my own stuff, you know, doing my thing, you know. And then the day came when mom just, she went, you know, and now I regret that. So do that with your mom and with your grandparents too.
Spend time with your grandparents.
There are a wealth of information, a wealth of stories. Yeah. When you talk and when you're out and you're talking with them, record what your conversations are, you know, because they've got that's your lineage, that's your family. Get them talking about when they were kids growing up. Those are some great stories. I used to love hearing my mom talk about when she was a kid, the trouble that her and our Auntie Lane would get into. Because she had her sister Elaine. My mom was the oldest. So there was Beverly, Elaine, and David. David was the baby. And the stories, they were just, they cracked us up. And the funny thing is they sound just like us. You know, we all did the same things. You know, we're all crazy. So good times. Good times. So get out there and spend some time with your mom. Happy Mother's Day on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Hey, and don't forget, tomorrow, Cooking with Dina, Joe, and Grammy, episode 12. Everything about potatoes. Man, you have been posting some great recipes, Dina Jo.
Yeah, man, those things look good. Been letting me do it ahead of time, so I just put them all in there. Have something to talk about.
Yeah, and that's kind of different from what we've done in the past. You know, we've always tried to play catch up with doing the recipes after the show, but you've gotten them in there now.
I don't want to do that.
I don't know what you've got to figure it out, because what you're doing now is working great.
Well, some of them don't post, and then they want me to scan it and do all this other stuff, and I'm like, that ain't happening right now. Nah.
I hear you. So yeah.
Yeah, I would have to say I would agree with Steels on this. It was super, super easy. The only thing that was difficult on the end was it was a different something with Comcast with the amount of, I don't know, 5 Wi-Fi something. I don't know, but it was super. You just plugged it in and you had an account. If somebody did that for you, it was pretty easy. And then the pictures just come. So that's the neat part about it. But yeah, I could see my mom really, like, if somebody was there just to help her, once it's set up, it's set up. So, but I could see her needing the help setting it up. But it was pretty simple. And I like it when I have pictures that I, like when Ava was here and I took pictures, then I was able just to add them from my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But like if Dee's saying somebody who is getting them, you know, from, you know, if you get the picture from somebody and you're all across the United States and other people are sending them to you, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would
be. It makes it easier for somebody who isn't tech savvy and to be able to do it for themselves. Everybody else is sending them in. So it's pretty neat.
It is.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I read this thing this morning and it says that chewing gum can increase your productivity up to 10%. And I thought that was interesting. It says a study conducted by Coventry University found that participants who chewed gum during the day reported they felt less sleepy. Psychological tests confirm that chewing gum does, in fact, make your body more alert. In laboratory testing, participants who chewed gum while multitasking had lower levels of the stress hormone and rated their feelings of stress and anxiety lower than when they did not chew gum.
Well, that was interesting. It's because they're doing something, like their, you know, their jaw is constantly doing something.
I was thinking something along that line. I was thinking it's like they probably, when they're doing stuff and they're busy and they're kind of stressful, they're grinding their teeth. So what this does, the chewing the gum takes the place of grinding your teeth. So try chewing some gum. Of course, then you're gonna choke. I don't know. Yeah, be careful. Don't choke.
Don't you? Not everybody chews gums and chokes. Do you choke when you chew your gum?
It depends
what are you doing when you're chewing your gum.
It depends if I'm concentrating or not.
Do you have the whole pack of gum in your mouth? Probably.
Oh, for crying out loud. No. I think we tried that once. We were kids. We tried to put all this, the gum we had? Double bubble. That double bubble bubble gum. Come with the little comic book. The little comic strip in it. We tried putting as many of those as we can in our mouth.
Bazooka
and I remember
Joe. Bazooka.
Bazooka. Yeah, Bazooka. That's,
it,
Joe.
It, you had to really soften that stuff up.
And then And then, you know, and kids get the lecture from their parents of you'll get gum in your hair.
Yeah. And when you do, man, that is just terrible.
I remember.
Hi, GP, thank you, GP man. Thank
I
you.
Remember we would put so much gum in our mouths. It was like, and then I remember going, you know, gagging because it's so, there's yeah. so much in there, you know. And I don't know about anybody else, but when I'm chewing stuff, I can only chew it for so long. And then my you know, GP, man. My mouth and my throat saying, okay, it's time to swallow it. You know, it's like, oh, geez.
Okay, you're weird.
You chew it, you swallow it. That's the normal.
I know, but I think in my head I know it's gum because I'm chewing it and then I'm blowing a bubble. Pop. Then I'm chewing it and I'm blowing a bubble.
You can blow bubbles? You know how to blow bubbles? Oh, yes. Man, I've never learned how to blow bubbles.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I would try and I'd end up spitting the gum out of my mouth because you use your tongue. Yeah. And there it goes, you know. I could never blow bubbles.
Oh, goodness.
I always wanted to. I always wanted to blow bubbles and I could never do it. Oh, man. I think one of my sisters were able to blow a bubble in a bubble. I don't know how. I don't know
how to do that.
Man, I don't know.
Hi, Leroy. Good to see you.
I just don't know. Bubble gum chewing.
Now you need to practice chewing and blowing bubbles.
Oh, no, I don't want to blow no bubble now. Are you kidding me with the beard, with all the hair on my face? I wouldn't want that thing popping and getting in all that. That'd be nasty.
What about Man. Crack and pop the gum? I think I know what you're talking about. Like they chewed it a certain way in their mouth and it kind of
oh, they'd pop
poppy
it.
Noise.
Yeah, they could pop their gum.
I didn't know how to do that.
It was something about they were able to make little air pockets in the gum while they're chewing it.
Welcome,
and pop it. Oh, I know.
Yeah, I could just blow bubbles.
That used to drive you know, my mom back crazy. I mean, because we, you know, not I couldn't do it, but my sisters had to be popping their gum. She'd make you get rid of it, you know, get rid of that gum. Man, I remember one time
on your nose.
teachers used to make you put the gum on their nose. They got you chewing gum in class. Yeah, put your gum on your nose. Yeah, I remember we were sitting in church. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
I think like on this like gum chewing stuff. You know, like topic, like, you know, that it's supposed to, you know, kind of be like a cushion for people who have a habit of like grinding their teeth. Like I have an uncle, which is my mom's brother, like for a long time, he had the worst habit of like grinding his teeth. He would even do it in his sleep to the point that he wound up having to have teeth extracted and be fitted with dentures.
Yeah.
But he would, you know, and if you asked him like, why do you have this habit of like grinding your teeth, I think his answer is like, I can't help it. You know, I don't know if it might be something to do with his nervous system or if he has like a gum disease where like his teeth are in constant pain when he did have teeth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I mean, because usually like for kids who, if they have a habit of like grinding their teeth, like, you know, like getting them like a mouth guard that they'd still be able to breathe through at night.
Yeah.
That way they won't have that habit of grinding their teeth.
I've had to do that. Well, I don't like grind them, but I'll press down. I've used to a lot when my pain was really bad when I was sleeping and I'd wake up and I would be like clenched my teeth, I guess. I wasn't really grinding them, but more of a clenching. And I had to get a mouth guard too. So
clench your jaw. Yeah, you wake up and your jaw hurts.
Welcome, RRM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were in church and, the kids were little. I think Richie was three years old. And, you know, he's in church. He's playing with his little things, you know, and, you know, being quiet and everything. And then I look down at him, you know, and he's chewing. I go, Rich, what are you chewing? What do you got? What are you chewing? He goes, gum. I go, where'd you get the gum? And he goes, from down here.
Oh my lord.
He was chewing the gum off the bottom of the pew.
Oh, no. Well, that is terrible.
I mean, you had to break him from that habit very quick.
Oh. He's like, give me that.
Oh, I can't believe somebody would put it underneath the pew. But yeah, then your kid, he's only a kid.
On he was just chewing on it. I remember one time in church, we gave him a quarter so he could put a quarter in the offering. As it went by, you know. And he's there playing with his quarter. And then all of a sudden his eyes are really big and he's looking at me. And I go, what happened? What's wrong? He goes, I swallowed the quarter.
Oh no. He had it in his mouth?
Yeah, he put it in his mouth. He was messing around and he swallowed it.
Did it come out? I mean, did he have to go to the hospital or anything?
Oh, it didn't. Yeah, it didn't bother him. I mean, yeah, he went in his stomach, and eventually it went. I was going to look for it, but funny is that? No, kids are a hoot, man. Kids are funny. Oh my goodness, my goodness. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
So you
that's
couldn't,
all you need is him getting gum off of things and swallowing him being a little kid and then going to the bathroom and then see that he thinks he's pooping money. I'm pooping money, Dad.
Yeah, yeah, really. Here's that quarter I swallowed. Oh, Richie. Kids are a hoot. I enjoyed my kids when they were little, but yeah. But sure enough, though, they would swallow their gum. You'd give them gum to chew, and they'd be chewing it. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And say, hey, where's... All right, give me that gum. I swallowed it. What?
Swallowing gum is not good for your intestines. My grandmother Pat taught me that.
Yeah, that's why I would think swallowing a quarter wouldn't be either.
I think that's those old mother things that moms used to tell us, you know. Don't swallow gum. It's not good for... your body's gonna... Yeah, your body takes care of all that stuff, you know.
Or if you eat a watermelon seed, you're going to grow a watermelon.
Exactly. Or you're going to have potatoes grow out of your ears if you don't clean your ears. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grammy was talking about that the other day. And it's too bad she's not up on the show because she was saying, you know, you guys should talk about all the things that our moms used to tell us when we were growing up. You know, things that they'd tell us and then we find out they're not real. Like that watermelon seeds. Yep. Don't swallow watermelon seeds. You'll have a watermelon grow inside you. I have yet heard of anybody have a watermelon grow inside their gut.
No. Yeah. Or an apple.
Well, you know, like animals out in the wild swallow seeds and it just goes right through them and they just poop it out. That's because I think that's it's science.
Yes, it is, Eric. It is science. And that's how we have a forest.
With science.
Yeah, that's how things grow. Yeah. And then there's this one wild cat out there that eats the coffee cherries and poops out
and
the seeds.
Poops it out. And then and then there's some crazy people
that collect them
to drink it.
Yeah. Collect them and roast them up and then sell them for.
I guess there must be some money in it.
There is.
There
it's
is.
One of the most expensive coffees out there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hi, Darlene. Welcome. $90 a cup. Give me no.
$90 for a cup of coffee. That's highway robbery.
They would have to pay me.
Oh yeah.
Steele says that there's a bat coffee too. I ain't eating.
I
wasn't aware of that.
Pass it.
Probably the same thing. They eat the cherries and all that. Have you ever heard of anybody eating the coffee cherries though? Dina Joe, I've heard, I thought I heard somebody, and it happened so quick I wasn't able to play it back, but they said that the coffee cherries are sweet.
No, I mean, I heard the same story that John had said yesterday on his show about the farmer with the goats, and the goats would eat it, and the goats would be all happy, jumping around.
Oh, from the caffeine?
And then that's when they found it. But no, I've never, they look like they would be sweet.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just curious. I've, I'm not nowhere near where they grow coffee.
No.
But I learned about that when I was in Hawaii. I learned that it was a cherry.
Welcome.
And I didn't know what they were talking about because they grow that Kona coffee in Hawaii, And they go, yeah, the bean is surrounded by a meaty cherry. And I go, you're kidding me. And they go, no. I go, well, I didn't know that. And it's a cherry. I mean, it's like a cherry. And I've always wondered, what does that taste like? What does the cherry taste like? And someone said that it is kind of sweet. And I'm thinking, well, then why don't they just sell them? I don't know. And then that started me thinking, can you take a cherry, pull the seeds or the bean out of the cherries, dry and roast them and make coffee out of them? Can you make a cherry coffee with the pits, the cherry pits? I don't know.
Moonshine mentioned having a cousin who would eat like the coffee beans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can get chocolate covered coffee beans all the time and eat those. Yeah. Grammy loves them. She loves those things.
Yeah. Chocolate covered ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was reading about the bat pooping. Well, maybe it's not. Is it pooping or do they spit it out?
I don't know.
I think they spit it out. They will eat the cherry and leave and spit the bean. The actual acid from the bat's saliva combined with the sun ray will change the character of the bean.
Huh.
So they don't digest it, where that cat, the cat one, he does digest it, and it causes the beans go through a fermentation process caused by enzymes and microbes. Although the bat has similar enzymes and microbes in its mouth, the beans are not exposed to it for long periods of time. Well, it's the cat, it's in their belly, and then they poop it out.
Interesting. Well, if you want to know more about coffee, I heard that John Gale had Net Live. They talked about coffee yesterday, and you can find that show on Podbeam and download it and listen to it. But we're gonna change directions here. Are you ready? It's time for Dina Jo to take control. Presenting music history, sharing information on artists and their music. Here she is, Dina Jo.
Songs turning 25 in 2022. Seems like such a long time ago, but it wasn't. Number one on our list today is going to be Janet Jackson with Together Again. Was with Janet Jackson's first, her sixth studio album, Velvet Rope, in 1997. It was written and produced by Jackson and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, with additional writings by Jackson's then husband, Renee Elizondo Jr. Originally written as a ballad, the track was rearranged as an up-tempo dance song. Jackson was inspired to write this song by her own private discovery of losing a friend to AIDS, as well as by a piece of fan mail she received from a young boy in England who had lost his father. Together Again was well received by music critics, who praised the song's structure and Jackson's vocals. The single was a commercial success, topping the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 for 2 weeks, as well as reaching the number one on the Billboard Dance Club Song Chart. Here is Janet Jackson with Together Again.
Beyond, there are times when I feel your love around me.
always liked her music. Did her and Michael, her brother, ever do duets together?
Yeah, I thought they did.
I think they did, yes.
I think they did.
Is Janet in my top 10?
And your mother just had a birthday yesterday, I believe.
Oh, really?
Huh. You know, Katherine Jackson.
Yeah.
I could easily have a couple of Janet Jackson songs in my top 10 songs. Yeah. Especially from her Rhythm Nation days. She has some great music. So that's Together Again, Janet Jackson. Mm-hmm. Again, producing great music.
All right, how number two.
I mean, this song's 25 years old. So, man, Janet Jackson, she must be getting up there. What is she in? She's got to be in her 50s, isn't she? I don't know.
John Gale and D-Mac mentioned the song Scream.
Oh, that she did with her brother?
With Michael Jackson.
With her brother, yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Interesting.
And, Steals. I keep seeing Revenge, and it's throwing me off. All right, Radiohead. The second one is Radiohead. Paranoid Android is the song. Paranoid Android is the song by English alternative rock band Radiohead. Re-released as a lead single from their third studio album, OK Computer, in May of 1997. The lyrics were written by singer Tom York. Following an upset experience in a Los Angeles bar, the song is over 6 minutes long and contains four sections. The name is taken from Marvin the Paranoid Android from the science fiction series The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Really?
Android charted at number 3 on the UK singles chart, their highest charting position in the UK to date, and received acclaim from music critics, many of whom compared the songs to Happiness is a Warm Gun by the Beatles and Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. The track has appeared regularly on lists of the best songs of all times, including NME's and Rolling Stone's respective 500 greatest songs of all time. Here is Radiohead with Paranoid Android. Hi, Raccoon Six.
Hi, Raccoon.
Radiohead, that's one of those bands that I never knew anything about or heard any of their music until I met Dina Jo.
Yeah,
this is one of the bands that you brought to my attention. It's a good band. I like them.
I've never heard that song before, but yeah.
No, neither have I.
All right, number 3 is going to be Foo Fighters with the song Everlong. And Everlong is the song by American rock group Foo Fighters. It was released in August of 1997 as the second single from their second studio album, The Color and the Shape. The song reached number 3 on the U.S. Billboard Alternative Songs chart and the Canadian RPM radio rock alternative charts. It remains a signature song for the band. Everlong was the last song ever performed live
by David,
former drummer Taylor Hawkins before his death on March of 2022. As a result of his death, streams of the song increased in the chart on the Billboard Global 200 to number 123 in the band's first appearance on the chart. Here's the Foo Fighters with Everlong. Hi, David. Welcome.
This is another one of those bands where I said, I never heard of them. You went, what? Are you crazy? Yeah.
I think one of their band members just died too. tell you anyone.
Hi, Erica. Good to see you. Oh, went way down.
Hello, I've waited here for you. Everlong by Foo Fighters.
I'll throw myself into the blue. And out of the red, out of the head, she sang.
They got good music. Good music. Foo Fighters.
All right. Number four on our list today is going to be David Bowie and the song I'm Afraid of Americans. I'm Afraid of Americans was David Bowie's last song to crack the Hot 100, number 66, before he died of cancer in January 10th of 2016. The critical track technically debuted in the Showgirls soundtrack in 1995, but has truly made its mark as a single on Bowie's Grammy-nominated album, Earthling, in 1997. I was traveling in Java when the first McDonald's went up. It was like, what the F sake, Bowie explains of the song's inspiration in the press release at the time. The invasion by any homogenized culture is so depressing. It strangles the ingenious culture and narrows expression of life, he said. If there was one thing Bowie knew how to do, it was the uninhibited expression of life, mastering the delicate balance of a highbrow art and shock value. Here is David Bowie with I'm Afraid of Americans.
You know, and he's got a point in what he said there.
Yep.
In America, who takes at the wheel?
I've always had like mixed feelings about David Bowie. I mean, do I like him? Do I not like him? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell.
I like it. Huh?
I like the beat of this song. I like the music on this song.
It reminds me a lot of Beck, who I like a lot of sometimes. But yeah, this is, I've never heard this song before.
I'm Afraid of America, David Bowie. And you know, he does make a point in this song, because I remember going to, when we were in England, I remember going to York, the town of York. It's an old, I mean, you know, decades, centuries old town. It's a old walled city in York, cobblestones, all the original buildings. I mean, you're walking along and you round the corner and what do you see? There's a Starbucks. There's a Pizza Hut, you know, Burger King. It's like, oh man, you know.
Yeah.
You're expecting to see knights on horses and Malay, hello, my lady, you know, and there's a McDonald's.
Or mom and pop things instead of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Commercialized stuff.
Yeah, it kind of makes some sense there. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number five on our list today is going to be Black Street with No Diggity. No Diggity is a song by American R&B group Black Street as the first single from their second studio album, Another Level, featuring Dr. Dre and Queen Penn. Re-released on July 29th, 1996, the song reached number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and in Iceland and in New Zealand. No Diggity ended the Margaritas 14-week reign atop the Billboard Hot 100. In the United Kingdom, the song peaked at number nine. No Diggity was the final number one single of Cashbox magazine. The track sold 1.6 million copies in 1996 and won the 1996 Grammy Award for Best R&B Performance by a Duo Group of Vocals. The song ranked at number one on the Rolling Stones and MTV's 100 Greatest Pop Songs. Here is Black Street with No Diggity.
Hey, No Diggity.
Revenge says, that's what you get when you live through the medieval times, old man. You expect to see that stuff.
No diggity, no doubt.
You guys are mean play to me on, today. Play, hey.
Play on, play that. Yo, Trey, drop the verse.
It's going down, fades to Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit
card Black Street ball, couldn't catch me. No diggity.
Who could stop with Dre making moves, attracting hundreds like a magnet, giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Black Street and Teddy, the original rough shakers.
All right, No Diggity by Black Street.
No diggity. Yep. All right. Number six on our list today is going to be Meredith Brooks with Nothing in Between, are also known as
Beep.
B-I-C-T-H. Nothing in Between. And it was later censored. It is a song by American singer-songwriter Meredith Brooks and co-written by Shelley Pekin. The song was released as American radio in March of 1997 as the lead single
from
Brooks' second album, By Moonshine,
Have a good day,
Blurred the Edges, and was issued as a commercial single on May 20th of 1997. In the United States, the song steadily rose to the Billboard Hot 100, eventually peaking at number two for 4 weeks. The song also peaked at number two in Australia and Canada, and reached number six in the United Kingdom. Here is Meredith Brooks with Nothing in Between. Girl power.
And I looked everywhere for this song, Nothing in Between, and I couldn't find it. All I could find was the other name of this song.
That's what I'm sure, yeah.
And then when I finally did find one, I played it, and I go, is this the same song? So then I did a comparative.
It is.
Oh my gosh, same song. This is a good, good song. Here we go. Nothing in Between. Great picture of Meredith Brooks on the cover for this album here.
I hate the world today. You're so good to me, I know, but I can't change.
She's got a good voice.
I tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath, innocent and sweet. Yesterday I cried. Must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused. I don't envy you.
Nothing in Between by Meredith Brooks.
All into one. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint.
It wasn't until I got to that chorus part that I recognized the song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just don't, when we've gone through an awful lot of music in our 2 years doing this show, and I've got to say, I just don't think female artists get their due. You know, I just don't think they get their deserved props in the industry. Because, I mean, we have come across some great music by female artists. But they just, to me, this is, I'm just speaking from my opinion, from my, what I observe, is just they don't get the props that they do. I mean, that Meredith Brooks has got some great music out there. I don't know. Is it just me, or do other people feel the same way? I don't know.
No, I agree. I agree. 100%. Well, let's see if you all remember this last one. Okay. Chumba Wumba. Right. Tub Thumpin'. Chumbawamba is a song released by British rock band Chumbawamba from their 8th studio album Tum Thumpin' in 1997. It's the band's most successful single, peaking at number 2 on the UK singles chart. The song was the group's lead single from Tub Thumper, their major label debut. It released, okay, we already read that, vocal Dunstan Bruce retrospectively observed that before the group wrote it, they were in a mess. We had become directionless and despaired. And he credits Tub Thumping with the changing that. In an interview, he said, it's it's not our most politically or best song, but it brought us back together. The song is about us as a class and as a band. The beauty of it was that we had no idea how big it would become. Here is Chumbawamba with Toe Thumpin'.
Truth is, I thought it mattered. I thought that music mattered. But does it bollocks? Not compared to how people matter.
We'll be singing when we're winning. We'll be singing.
I get knocked down.
It's an interesting song. I vaguely remember it. This is the only part of this song I remember, right here. Top something. By Chumbawamba Baba.
I don't know how you say that. Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
That's it. Don't let anybody keep you down.
That's a
I get knocked
song.
Down. Get up again.
And knock them down. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, great job, Dina Joe. Great list.
You're welcome.
You are our music mistress.
Yeah, we'll finish it tomorrow.
Oh,
and then Monday we will start the big band small band swing. It's going to be more Whoa. Big band for the first kind of 3 days. The last Thursday and Friday we'll go into swing music. So yeah, bye AJ. Have a good day.
I'm looking forward to what you come up with, because that's that didn't strike me as a genre of music that you've really had too much exposure to.
No. So it's been very difficult. So I'm sweet. The more modern swing, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, when you get into Big Bag Voodoo Dally and the Blasters and Brian Sensor, I know some of that, but there's way more. There's so much more. And so many women, like you said, there's a whole lot of rockabilly, more rockabilly.
Uh-huh.
Swing, more rockabilly, more modern rockabilly will be Thursday and Friday.
So it's kind of like you've opened up a little treasure chest of music.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I'm sure you've been listening to some of it. So what do you think? Yeah. You like it?
I like it. No, I do. I like it. It's get up and move dance music for sure. Uh-huh. All of it. Even the big band music was all, you know, dance music. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, that big band music, the stuff from...
tune in and you'll find out, Mr.
Andy. Yeah, the stuff from Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman, Tommy Dorsey, mm-hmm. Harry James, Buddy Rich, you know, all these guys with their big bands in it. That was the rock and roll of their day, you know. That was the devil music, you know. Yeah, as a matter of fact, in the 1940s in Germany, that was a big underground thing. They had these swing band clubs, you know, and it was all underground. I mean, you couldn't, because the Nazis, they didn't like it. They didn't want anybody. They didn't want to do that. And there's a movie out there called, Swing Bro. I don't know. I have to look it up now, but there is a movie out there that talks about that. It's a kind of a documentary type movie that talks about that era in Germany when the kids were into the swing music and they had to do it all under underground. They had to all do it in the alleys, you know, because it was they'd get in trouble. They'd get in trouble, thrown in jail. What was the name of that movie? I cannot remember me now. Swing. Oh man, I can't think of it. But it's great music. Great music. Yeah. Good times. I'm looking forward to it, Dina Joe, because that's the kind of music I love. I used to play that. I used to play that when I was in high school. I was in a swing band in high school. Played second tenor. Second tenor, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Tenor sax. Tuttles, are you there? I thought Tuttles was trying to call in. Swing Kids. I think that's it, D-Mac. I think that's the name of the movie, Swing Kids. Something like that, yeah. And I think I've seen it one time, and it was a very interesting movie. I think
I've seen Tuttles up there.
There he is.
There's Tuttles. He just unmuted.
What's up, buddy?
I don't know. Oh, there we go. I'm working now. I'm going green. Quick little thing for you guys. Do you know actually why they call it the devil's music?
No.
No.
Back in the old days, the Vatican actually deemed certain notes to be music of the devil, and bands were not supposed to play them. But when blues and stuff like that was starting, some of those guys started tapping into these notes that were actually banned by the Vatican. So they were called the devil's notes, and that's why they called it devil's music.
Oh, for crying out loud. That's very interesting. That's very interesting.
A lot of the notes and chords and stuff that are prominent in heavy metal, especially, they're actually the devil's notes.
Well, in my listening to and doing a little, you know, little light studies of classical music, there was an era in the Romantic era of music. I think it was the 1700s maybe, that the composers actually started to throw, and you listen to that, throw these what they call jazz notes in the classical music. Yeah, they were they were exploring and experimenting. And now that you say that, see, a lot of those guys were rebels. Those were, you know, the Beethovens. They were the rebels of the day. You know, they were like the Mick Jaggers and all this and that, you know. And I bet you that that's why they started throwing that into the classical music, because the Vatican said that stuff, the devil. Oh, yeah, I'll show you the devil. I'm going to start throwing this into my music. Yeah. So it's,
I just can't ever picture a note being evil. You know what I mean? It's like, it's music, man. You got to have the full array of every tone and stuff. Like, just band, a music tone. Oh, that's craziness.
Yeah.
It's control. That is crazy.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, man, thanks for that little tidbit of information. I did not know that, man.
Yep. Thanks for the show, guys. I'll hop back down.
Bye, Tuttles. All right. Don't blow
away. Thank you,
Tuttles.
Oh, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, yeah. Tuttles in Cubella tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight. Their first,
well, I think Cubella's main channel is hosting it.
Yeah, it's going to be hosted on the Cubella channel, yes.
All righty.
Okay.
Make sure everybody tunes in. Throw that in the chat room so everybody sees it, Tuttles.
Thanks, guys.
I'll definitely plug it tomorrow in the chat, too.
Thank you, buddy. But the show's tonight.
Tonight's the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tuttles, he's just a wealth of knowledge, that guy is.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, so good times. Yeah. Devil's notes. Isn't that it? Isn't that about it? Come on.
Capo, intro, F, G, F, G, F, G, F, G, G, C. None of those. Yeah. The chords G, D, E, M, E, little M, F, and C. I
guess. Well, that's minor. That, when you see the M there, that's like G minor, and that kind of stuff.
So
yeah.
You can't play the G, the D, the E minor, and the F and the C.
That's all the jazz chords. Oh, for crying out loud. A lot of that's the jazz and rock chords. Oh, for crying out loud. A lot of those chords you mentioned are the basic foundation for music. I mean, you know, when you a lot of songs, believe it or not, a lot of songs, as much noise as they are in that, they're only three chord progressions, you know. And a lot of the chords you mentioned are the three chords that the progressions are, you know, like A, E, D, or D, E, A, or G, C. And oh, man, that's crazy. That's just crazy.
Just as the silliest, let's ruin our record and play it backwards. Hi, Solid Blue.
Yeah. Exactly.
See what evil thing it's going to say to us.
Yeah, and speaking of classical music, you know, we have that classical music show on WESN on Sundays. But did you know that classical music, there's no original recordings of classical music because it was all before any recording technology was around. So everything you hear in classical music is a cover. Ain't that something? It's all a cover. Interesting. Interesting. It's like I'm one of my favorite pieces. Ah, it's too late. We're running out of time. I ain't got time to go into this. But anyway, it's all cover music. So get out there and enjoy yourself some music and stay away from them devil chords.
Yeah. Don't play any of those.
As a matter of fact, this song has all of them, I think.
Watch out.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric. We appreciate you guys. They're the best. And if you're new to the show, be sure you hit that follow button. Even when you're listening to it on the download, you can still hit that follow button. And that way you get a notice when we're on. But you'll find us here every morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. And don't forget tomorrow, the 12th edition. The girls are taking over
potatoes.
Cooking with Dina, Joe, and Grammy tomorrow, and they're talking about potatoes.
Anything
and everything potatoes.
My palm is really itchy. Doesn't that mean I'm going to get money?
I could be. Eric, you got some shows you want to plug?
Well, I know coming up on Podbean today, you got Milk Dog. I think he's on right now, and Jeff Moore and Solid Blue Sister coming up this afternoon, and in prime time this evening. I know you got Low Standards and Pores and Andy Schechter doing some shows, but I would certainly encourage people to also be on lookout for Tuttles and Q Bella to be doing a new show called Talk Hard, which is newly revived, actually. And I guess if my kid is out there listening to this, hopefully he's coming back with a new episode of Real Conservative Talk if he's doing a show this evening. And I know Ralph will be back in the morning right before tomorrow's Cooking with Dina, Joe, and Grammy episode of the Old Man's Podcast, and plenty more podcast friends coming up this weekend, like John Gale and The Swap Doesn't Lie, then the Beans and Weenie Show and the It's Doomsday Podcast and so many others.
Welcome, Ayashi. Welcome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of good shows out there. You know, and we always talk about consistency. If there's anybody more consistent as a podcast that's out there, it's got to be Milk Dog. The guy is always on. Dog is always on. And I saw the other day that I think it's Jester's podcast is listed now in the top 20. Doomsday podcast. I think he broke into the top 20. Yeah.
Congratulations to him. He's been getting listeners coming over here from TikTok.
Well, there you go. He's got a good show. That's so, anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. We really appreciate you tuning in and checking us out. We have fun. Hope you had fun. And now a final word from Miss Dina Jo.
Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. Thanks so much for joining us today. We love you guys and appreciate you all so very much. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you around Podbean. Bye!
Dina Jo! Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, Cooking with Dina Jo. Cooking with Dina Jo and Grammy tomorrow. Potatoes! We're going to talk about potatoes, man. Don't forget Cinco de Mayo. Get out there and get you some tacos and get you some nachos and some cerveza. Yeah. All right, music's done. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody. Bye, thanks for tuning in.
Love you. God bless you, everybody. See you around Podbean.
Later, Gators.